Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday, and that means it's a PLE. That means we're covering NXT Battleground, where we had Trick Williams retain. We had NXT and TNA go to war, and we crowned a first ever North American Women's Champion. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by none other than George Hermosa, always keeping his nose in the book. George, how are you today?
I'm doing good for the Sunday, you know, the Sabbath day, as some would call it.
The Sabbath. So serious when you say it like that. But, you know, that is how it is known to many around the world. I want to give a shout out to the people who are joining us all around the world. We've got a bunch of you here in the chat. Good to see you guys already. Of course, you know, I don't do my shout outs until after the news section, though. That's for the people who watch all the time, but still appreciate you coming through here. And George, we've been doing these Saturday, Sunday PLEs, pay-per-views, depending on what company you represent, for a while now, and they have been very successful. The bosses over at Wrestling Inc. headquarters have been very pleased with how things have been turning out. So much so, I don't know if you know this, but next weekend, June 15th, Clash at the Castle, we're going to be reviewing that one as well right after the show. I'm going to be on that one reviewing. I don't know who my partner is going to be for that one. I believe Flobo Boyce, but I thought he was going to be here tonight, and then he took the night off. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But, George, it's pretty cool we get to cover these big events now.
I guess tune in and find out. It's funny because it was something that I was kind of asking the bosses at, as the insiders call it, wink. About maybe covering these things, because obviously me and you have a lot of history dating back almost half a decade, and we would cover a lot of pay-per-views.
No. Oh my god, it is half a decade.
Yeah. And those were a little bit more, there were a lot of viewers because those were a little more those were always a little more on the evergreen side, right? Every now and then, you know, I'll pop in a Backlash 2008. Every now and then I'll pop in a Great American Bash 92. But I don't really get too often where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch a random episode of WCW Saturday Night from 1993. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying me watching a pay-per-view randomly is more likely. Therefore, you know, I'm always on the hunt of like, hey, I wonder if there's a podcast covering, you know, Great Balls of Fire from 2018 or to some random pay-per-view from back of the day. So these are always a little bit more, I don't want to say more fun, but these are always pretty cool to cover.
By the way, Danny Cochran saying After Buzz, RIP. Yeah, Danny, been following for a long time. That's right. That's where, you know, I always say, George, you were the one. You gave me the first in. You got my foot in the door to this whole world.
It was the hashtag bring back Jack.
Hashtag bring, over at SummerSlam 2019, was it? Yeah. 5 years. Where does the time go? Jeez Louise.
It's crazy. You know, I was a little intimidated at first. I'm like, dude, who is this great looking guy trying to take my mojo? But, you know, I had to drop the ego. Yeah. I had to drop the ego and said, you know what? I think Jack Farmer is going to be best for business.
Oh, that's, you know what? and we were both wrong. We got a lot of stuff going on here. A lot of folks in the chat. I want to give a quick shout out, by the way, to Ricky Sinclair for joining us. Not able to join us live often, but able to join us tonight often. So appreciate you coming through, Ricky. And don't worry, everyone, of course, shout outs coming a little bit. We talk about covering these PLEs, and I was getting into this, and we'll break down tonight. Don't you worry. We're going to get into all the details. But overall, I was going into this, and I want your thoughts on this thought I went into this one with. Going into NXT Battleground, this felt like WWE or NXT's version of Forbidden Door. And I know that sounds easy. Oh, TNA is involved. But no, like, look, Good Brothers aren't technically an NXT brand. Jordan Grace, not technically an NXT brand. We had All Ego presented as someone coming in from the outside, but also all these matches really set up like in the last 2 weeks to get this going. This really felt a bit like a Forbidden Door kind of show. Am I fair in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, we had stars from Raw, Shayna Baszler, stars from SmackDown, Mee Chin. It was a little bit of everybody coming in. Kind of felt a little like, you know, obviously I'm not comparing exactly, but, you know, Hall and Ash were clearly WCW contracted wrestlers, you know, when that happened for the Outsiders. But, you know, Ethan Page kind of like even dropping that little hint that Vic Joseph did not too long ago when he was like, wait, I thought I saw him in A8. You know, he kind of started to say it.
And then Booker T cut him off.
Yeah, even kind of we saw it a little bit tonight, which we'll get into. But yeah, it things like this is what makes wrestling lots of fun.
I'm seeing a lot of people mention Sexy Red, and the reviews in the chat aren't super favorable. I've got to say, I think that whenever it comes to a musician, and George, I want your thoughts, because I know you're actually very musically inclined, and you have a pretty big musical knowledge base. If you don't get a musician, sometimes, especially a popular one, sometimes you just got to say, you know what, this one isn't for me. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't know Sexy Red, if Sexy Red isn't your thing, that's fine. But I also think that you got to sometimes just go, you know what, maybe this is for a different group of people. What are your thoughts on Sexy Red and maybe bringing music and everything I just said?
It's funny because I am kind of trying to stay in tune with the music, but there was a certain artist that I wasn't really too familiar with about 3 years ago. And then the WWE brought him in, and apparently he's like the biggest star in the world, and that's Bad Bunny. Obviously, mm-hmm. Sexy Red is not the biggest star in the world, but it goes to show that just because I personally am not too familiar with, or even maybe not necessarily a fan, that doesn't mean there's not a lot of other people that aren't fans of theirs. And that's what goes to show that WWE really is for everyone. Pro wrestling is for everyone.
Right. Yeah, whether it be Jelly Roll on Raw being in the crowd. They had someone else somewhat recently as well, I think another country singer. But
Hardy, maybe?
Every now and then. Hardy, that's who it was. But also, you know, I go back a little ways. And the first time I discovered a certain musician that blew up pretty big was through NXT. And that was Billie Eilish with the You Should See Me in a Crown song was one of their theme songs. Mm. And that was a Billie Eilish song. And then she's gone on. You may have heard of her. She's done a few things here and there sporadically to varying degrees of success. But let me know. This is for fun. How do you guys like, and George, I want your response on this. Everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments, let me know. What are your thoughts just in general on NXT bringing in musical acts? Because I want your guys' thoughts. I'm going to give my thought is I love it. I feel like it's very SNL, how they have a musical performance during this variety show. I think it's cool. I think it'd be fun if they got all different types of musicians on a regular basis. How do you feel about them just incorporating live music, per se?
I like that they mix it up a lot, too. It's not just performing a wrestler out to the song. You know, off the top of my head, I can think of Poppy coming out or playing Io Shirai a couple times during their NXT. Black and Yellow, Black and Gold, or Black and Yellow. Black and Gold, you know, era. We saw, I don't know the name of the band, but it was really cool when Aleister Black had the live band behind him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've seen a lot of cool things when it comes to just live performance in general. I've always been a big fan of it. I always go back to like the DX band, the Chris Warren band playing out DX at WrestleMania 14, Motorhead playing out Triple H at Mania 17, 25, 21. I always am a big fan of it to the point where I think Rhea Ripley's performance this year at Mania was amazing. And I, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, I like that they mix it up. It's not just artists coming out and playing out people to the ring. It's Sexy Red hosting NXT. It's, you know, Jelly Roll in the audience. It's mm-hmm. a lot of cool, and it's not just one genre either. It really right. is like all kinds of different genres, to the point where, and apparently Jelly Roll is a big deal. I never yeah. heard of him before pro wrestling. And that gives them a lot of exposure as well. Rock and wrestling isn't new. There was a lot of, and we'll get into the pay-per-view right now, but there was a lot of clips on Twitter going around with Cyndi Lauper on the Drew Barrymore show, yeah. on Jimmy Kimmel show, talking about her time in WWE. And that dates back to the mid 80s, and mm-hmm. to the point where there might be a petition soon coming up about having Cyndi Lauper being put in the Hall of Fame, and rightfully so.
She should be. Yes. Yeah. I agree 100%. Sign off by Jack Farmer, Cyndi Lauper in the Hall of Fame. And I think she should have been already, to be frank.
I thought you were Jack.
What?
You said to be frank. I'm like, I thought your name is Jack.
Well, if I was going to be frank, I would say that she should be in there already, because I mean, so much of wrestling's popularity came from her mm-hmm. involvement during that time. But yep. yeah, Killer Demon saying bands like Code Orange and mm-hmm. Poppy Killer Demon's looking to get more of the metal acts in there as opposed to the rap acts. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's got to be a mix. I think having a little bit of everybody in there, Alicia A is saying it's way overdue for her to be in the Hall of Fame. And KOD saying Cyndi Lauper is from Brooklyn. But yeah, it's definitely, she's someone who definitely should be in there. If you haven't been Troy J says Frank is a huge Lauper mark. But
by the way, Beer Money, you like the WWE hip hop CD? Put some respect on WWF Aggression, because that's what the name of the album was. I think I have it back here somewhere.
Those old CDs were great. God, I sound old. Those old back in my day, the old CDs, they really. Oh, is it unopened too? Is it?
Oh no, it's totally open.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, this is that hip hop CD. But yes, that number one, the DX theme by Run DMC. That one was a classic.
Man Cave Sessions, Trust Company, 12 Stones, Saliva, Drowning Pool. I'm an old WWF head. Man, those old albums though, like who sang the Stone Cold one that wasn't his theme song?
Oh,
it was
like,
sometimes I drink a little beer.
Oh, wait,
sometimes
I don't know about
I
that.
Make a little mess.
That so sounds good. Like a beer commercial.
Sometimes I get a little angry. Sometimes we're not allowed to swear on.
You know what's funny is I have no idea what you're talking about. Like,
you don't know that song?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Ba-na.
I know there was like a. Ba-na. I know there was like an album called like Stone Cold Metal back in the day.
It was like an extra one on one of those like WWE The Music.
Well, I know there was the Disturbed theme that did his song. That was I don't know why he got rid of it.
I can't play it on here. I can look it up on Spotify right now, but then we would get DQ'd. Is it or not DQ'd? God, I watch too much wrestling. We would get stricken here. But we got to talk about this show at some point. But I do. This is where I'm going to do it, guys. It's roll call time. Thank you guys so much for coming through. We got Armando Gomez, Beer Money, Killer of Demons, Joy J, Ricky Zaldivar, John Johnson, Jay Willie, Alicia A, Adonde, Joe C, Lurkin, Daniel Barry, Ricky Sinclair, Montez Tindall. Good to see you, Montez. Danny Cochran, KC, Arthur, by the way. Hey, guys, the King of the Saiyans is here. Well, thanks for coming through, Your Honor. I was going to say Your Honor instead of Your Majesty. That's the word mm-hmm. I'm looking for. 2K, YoungBoy24 coming through Man Cave Sessions. And, of course, stalking you with the dog emoji always gets a shout out. Let's talk a little bit about this show. George, we start with a historic matchup. The NXT Women's North American Title 6-Pack Ladder Match: Sol Ruka versus Lash Legend versus Fallon Henley versus Jada Parker versus Meechin versus Kehlani Jordan. Fast-paced matchup, big spots. Kehlani Jordan gets the win and is the first ever North American Women's Champion.
This was such a fun match. This was the match I was looking forward to the most. Kudos to not just those women, but just in general, the best women's division of all of pro wrestling. And this was such a fun match. I cannot wait. And we saw a glimpse of it this past Tuesday on NXT. I can't wait for that singles one-on-one match between Kehlani Jordan and Sol Ruka. Because that, to me, is going to be a lot of chatter this past week about the specific match. But I think that's going to be like the Ricochet Will Ospreay of the new generation for women. Because those two girls are so athletic. We're going to see certain things because we saw some really cool things coming out of this match. We saw that really, really cool spot with Lash Legend, kind of, I guess you can call it like a crowd surfing kind of spot where they
she got disrespectfully thrown out of the ring.
That was a lot of fun. But man, shout out to every woman involved. I do want to give props to someone specific because, you know, I love me some Jada Parker. But I thought Mee Chin was amazing in this match, and I know she's got a lot of criticism in the past. She kind of had a not so great match around like 5 years ago with Shayna Baszler on one of the takeovers that didn't really get a lot of good reviews. And her run since she's been back has been a little, you know, off and on with whether she's the OC, whether she's in some tournament. But I thought she was absolutely fantastic in this match. I feel like this is the Mee Chin Mia Yim that we should be seeing on a regular basis, not so much in ladder matches, you know, because you can only do so many ladder matches in so much time. But I feel like we saw like a sparkle in her eye that has been missing for the last year or so.
Beer Money says Soul Snatcher is hands down one of the best finishers of the past decade, men or women. Best women's finisher since Ember Moon. George, you are a wrestling historian. Does that statement stack up to you?
Oh, 1,000%. And the way she just gets it out of nowhere, which I think would make it a little level above the Ember Moon one. Because in this case scenario, we really didn't see it coming. Sometimes you can kind of see the setup when the person's kind of a little groggy in the corner. But in this case scenario, those two, especially the one off the ladder, completely came out of nowhere. Sol Ruka is going to be something really, really special in the next couple of years. I can't wait to see hers and Kehlani Jordan's evolution eventually when it comes to the WWE.
I love the Soul Snatcher. I got to agree with you. Every time I've seen it, I think I go, oh!
It gets more impressive each and every time.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying. It used to bug me the most. I'm going to age myself so much here. But the when Rick Steiner would do the bulldog off the top rope by himself, not as a tag team, and the other guy would have to like stand up and like back up towards the turnbuckle. I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? You know, and it always looks so silly, but I never see it coming. But it feels like I should see it. It's just every time I'm like, oh, geez, how did she hit it so quickly? Very, very, very cool. And it looks like everyone's pretty much agreeing. Adonde, 1,000% beer money. And Alicia saying that I've liked Mia Yim's run in NXT. It's good that she's getting that opportunity here. I think from something I wanted to say is that I love Kehlani Jordan getting the win here. Because going into this one, and I tweeted this, I felt like this one could have been like anybody's game. Honestly, anyone could have left tonight with that title, and I've been like, I could see that. This was probably the toughest match you're going to have to pick here. But I love that Kehlani got it, because Kehlani Jordan feels like her path has been very tough the past few years. Like, she's had a lot of things set up, and then things outside of her control have fallen apart, whether it be people no longer with NXT or storylines changing or whatever. It feels like it's been tough, but she's powered through it, and I feel like this gives her sort of a footing that is her own now. She doesn't have to worry about whether or not other people are still at the company. That's not their fault either. I don't mean to paint it that way, but you know what I mean. Like, it's hers now, and she really has her own destiny in her own hand. And the destiny, I want to mention, I saw this post from at Toxic Attraction on Twitter, and it had a picture of all the inaugural female champions. We had Michelle McCool, Paige, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks and Bayley, and now Kehlani Jordan. And I'm looking at this list, and George, Kehlani Jordan's still new, but everyone else, I feel like, is a surefire Hall of Famer. Like,
oh, no doubt.
Do you think, now obviously this is way too early, I mean, Kehlani Jordan, are we looking at a potential Hall of Famer here?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, she made history. Not too many people make history and don't end up having a Hall of Fame career. 1,000%. This was a lot of people's time to shine, and this was their turn. This was phenomenal. I cannot say enough great things about these six women. And that goes to show how stacked this division is, because you could have inserted like a couple other women as well, and it probably would have been just as phenomenal. We've been seeing a lot of great things from Tatum Paxley recently. We've seen, you know, Ariana Grace really come into her own. And like you mentioned, you know, we've seen storyline, not you know, obviously Gigi Dolan still with the company, but we saw that storyline kind of flounder a little bit, but mm-hmm. she's still, you know, going at it. And yeah, I cannot wait to see just how this championship is going to get spotlighted now, you know, on a regular basis on NXT programming, especially heading into the CW era, which comes up already like in 3-4 months.
I always say one of the things that I would say, college coaches are the best coaches in the world because they can't keep their players. If they're good, they leave. And I look at the women's division in NXT and it's kind of the same thing. They don't get to keep their players. They leave. That's the nature of NXT. But NXT is always just one of the best female rosters in pro wrestling, no matter who gets taken from them. And you got to give that roster, that locker room, the coaches, the team there so much credit to have. When you look at the people they just lost, and they still have a roster filled with incredible talent, you got to give hats off to them. I want to get my last thing on this before we move on. I want to say what I liked about this ladder match. Didn't overstay its welcome. Came in fast paced. We did some cool stuff. We got a winner. It wasn't this like 45 minute drawn out thing so that we could get a whole bunch of stuff in there. It happened. It came in. It was quick. And because it was still early in the show, I didn't feel like, oh man, we still got 6-minute matches left. It was like, oh, that was fun. We got through it. Like, and I enjoyed that. I appreciated the pacing of this one.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, but like I said, shout out to, and it's, and that it, you mentioned that about the women, because 3 years ago, especially when NXT 2.0 started, I'm like, oh man, like all these women are leaving, they're going on to other things. Some of them got released, unfortunately. I don't know how they're going to get back that NXT that is going to get back get that identity of women's wrestling, but man, was I wrong. And I'm happy to be wrong, because yeah, those, and it's to the point where it's such a norm to have all these women's segments and we don't even think about it. And you're like, oh yeah, there was a lot of women involved. I think they mentioned, I didn't count myself, but they mentioned it. There was more women featured on the pay-per-view tonight than there were men.
Yep. Yep. That's the Vic Joseph said that. And to your point, yeah, I didn't even, as they're building to the show, you're not even thinking about that, which is what we're looking for in this kind of thing, that you're not even realizing that it's that equal now and that there's that many people. And that's to say, I mean, the men had a tag team match. They had a triple threat match. It wasn't like they were all in just one-on-ones and whatnot. Speaking of tag team matches, we did have an NXT Tag Team Championship match. Nathan Frazier and Axiom versus the OC, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Classic size versus speed matchup. This time, Speed gets the win and Speed remains the champions. Nathan Frazier and Axiom. Thoughts on this one?
This was fun. I thought we would see at least one title change on the PLE today. You know, I was wrong on all accounts, but I mean, it was good for what it was. Clearly, it was a way for these literal global veterans in the OC that have wrestled all over the world, give these guys an opportunity to really be in the ring with such veterans like these guys. I mean, Luke Gallows, I was thinking about it today. What a journey this guy has from being Festus to the fake Kane, or other way around, fake Kane to being Festus to, you know, doing the Straight Edge Society, getting released, coming back, getting released again, and then coming back, but really accomplishing whatever you can accomplish when it comes to tag team wrestling these days all over the world. So for him to come back and, you know, putting over some of these younger guys, as we call them on NXT Tuesday at the after show, Fraxium, you know, they show that they really do belong with guys that have that notoriety like the OC.
Yeah, I like that they sold us on that too at the OC, that like when you look at everything the OC accomplished, this is one thing they haven't, and they're the kind of guys that want to check every box. So they want these titles for a legacy, a career thing. I think that was a cool story to play from commentary. I want to give them a shout out for that. As far as Nathan Frazier and Axiom go, I've said many times I was a huge NXT UK fan, to the point that I kind of root for everyone from there. Similar to like anyone from Lucha Underground, I'm kind of rooting for them to do well. So I'm rooting for these guys. But I want to ask you, because you cover NXT every single week here on Wrestling Inc., which you can check out right after the show every Tuesday, you and Glenn. you know, the tier system, you have like your A, B, C, D, but then at the very top, you're like your S tier. You know how that whole thing works?
Yeah.
Where would you put Axiom and Frazier? What tier are Axiom and Frazier?
I would still have them maybe like on a B tier. And I was thinking about that today. Unfortunately, as great as other aspects that NXT has, I feel like the tag team division is still a work in progress. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of new teams that really haven't been able to showcase themselves. We saw we have Hank and Tank that are a team, but really don't get showcased as much. We got other teams.
Out the Mud.
And
that other team, I'm blanking on their names, but they're like,
yeah,
they're big guys, but they're like into science and math and biology and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's a work in progress. So, you know, hopefully they have a chance to, you know, raise those tiers. Obviously it's a marathon, not a sprint, especially with I'm going to mention CW a lot, cause I feel like that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Going into it, they're really going to start showcasing a lot of divisions as they should. But I feel like it's a work in progress, and I'm happy that Axiom and Frazier are at the top of that helm.
Ricky's saying Gallus boys on top. I love the Gallus. We're going to talk about the Gallus boys here in a little bit. Cause I've got, we need some justice for Gallus, and I'm going to get into that whole thing in just a little bit. But I am a big fan of these guys. I do feel like that's kind of one of the problems, I think, when you add in a new division and you do have so many strong divisions, sometimes other divisions are going to struggle. And I think you only got 2 hours every single week. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a championship division for men and women. Now a North American championship division for men and women. That tag team championship getting a little squeezed out, not to mention the Heritage Cup, which I, as a fan of that division, I fear may get squeezed out completely, but that's just for me. So that said, George, if I gave you the pen, the pencil, whatever we're writing with, who's next? Who gets a tag team title shot?
So it's crazy because I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I feel that NXT lost, and not to say they weren't ready. I'm not saying that I feel like they deserve to be on the main roster, but it goes to show how valuable they are. When Pretty Deadly got called up to the main roster, that tag division, I feel like that's when it started to go a little downhill. They really, really lost a valuable commodity in that division when Pretty Deadly got called up. So I'd bring them back. Now that they on the main roster, we saw New Day come back to the main roster and win the championships. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why a team like Pretty Deadly can't come back in and win the championships. But also with that said, now that this kind of agreement that we have with TNA, maybe we see the Rascals come in and give Axiom and Frazier a shot to see what's up.
We'll definitely be talking about that in a little bit when we get to that North American triple threat match. Gallus and Anderson back to SmackDown. You think they're done on NXT?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think they totally are, especially with what we're seeing with AJ Styles. It feels like now we're seeing them as a trio again, and hopefully they go back to, you know, do what they do best. And that's beat up John Cena.
Right. I think we're seeing, Alicia says, yes, since they aren't using Pretty Deadly on the main roster, I think one of them's injured, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken, though.
Yeah, if that is, I know we have, I remember seeing one of them in a wheelchair, but I feel like that was like they had come back already after that.
Because they came back and they had like two matches and they were out again. I think something happened, but I could be wrong.
They were in that, you know, one of those qualifying matches to be in that ladder match at WrestleMania. But I feel like we've only seen them maybe once. I can't remember if they got drafted in this past draft, but hopefully we see them. I like them. They have a very, very top. Speaking of S tier, they have an S tier style or the S tier of theme music.
Oh, yeah. Pretty Deadly is one of the greatest things in pro wrestling when they're rocking.
Yes, boy.
Yes, they're so good. I always say they're not brothers, but I've never seen a team that isn't brothers speak together the way they do and bounce off each other as quickly and as naturally in a way that does not feel planned. I mean, it doesn't sound planned anyways. Like they don't feel like they rehearse these lines, but they just bounce off each other so well. Pretty Deadly.
They're like a male version of Lay Cool.
They're so good, man. And I think individually they could be great. Mm-hmm. Yes, boy. Yes, boy. I love Pretty Deadly. Like I said, Ricky Sinclair said Gallus. Yeah. I love their old theme music. Man,
that theme music is so UK.
Dude, it was so good. I love that. Bring it back. I got Justice for Joe Coffey. I've got a rant coming up. Not really a rant, but I'm going to be talking about it. Going back to the women's division, though, Randy 92729 said about how the division is stacked. This isn't to mention Cora Jade and Nikita currently out with injury. So, yeah, when they come back. And Ricky Sinclair also said NXT definitely has the best women's division wrestling all around. TNA is a close second. Yeah, I would say TNA is probably their number one competition there, which means we could get some very cool stuff coming up in a little bit. NXT UK was awesome. It was so good. I loved NXT UK. Arthur, by the way, real quick, George. So who do you guys think the next main roster wrestler to show up in NXT is going to be?
That's a really, really good question. You know, we saw Apollo Crews go back to NXT and now he's back on, you know, the main roster. That's a really good question. That's one of those questions that I need to get prepped for.
Austin Theory is my pick off the top.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think he finally found his groove with Grayson Waller. But you know, I wouldn't mind seeing somebody like, off the top of my head,
Bronson Reed. I could see too.
Roman Reigns. No,
I mentioned
this before the draft though. I would love to see somebody like Omos come back and have a nice little run on NXT and maybe giving Trick Williams a run for his money.
You know, I'd love to see Omos dominate people. And then, you know, I'm going to say it for a little bit because I don't want to spoil something later. Let's talk about someone else who came back from the main roster to come and have a match on NXT. And that's Shayna Baszler, who faced Lola Vice. By the way, please join us every Monday. We talk about Shayna Baszler and what she's doing over there as well on Monday with Triple J. Speaking of Triple J, Jeroy J saying Tozawa going to NXT. You know I'm a big Tozawa fan, everybody. I had to cool my jets a little bit on the show, but don't you worry. Akira is ready. So we got an MMA-style fight with pro wrestling elements. At some point, Baszler just attacks people at ringside, and Shayna's head hits the ring steps, and Vice takes advantage to get the win. What are your thoughts on underground matches? We've had a few of them in recent weeks, months. Do you like them? Do you hate them? How do you feel about this one? How do you feel about them in general?
I'm going to give you the biggest cop-out answer that I can give.
The fans are the winner.
Yeah. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's because I'm watching it and it's supposed to be, you know, a little more grittier, but, and I get it, it's pro wrestling, you know, and I'm not trying to sit there and reveal anything, but you know, some of those strikes were a little you know, soft, I guess you can say. And it wasn't until the very end when we saw the end of the match with Lola Vice kind of coming on Baszler, that was kind of the first time I saw a little bit of fire and intensity and energy into the strike that she was doing. Everything else seemed just a little soft. You know, obviously, I mean, we've all heard of the Josh Barnett's blood sport, so I'm thinking that's what they're trying to go for. Maybe it's different live, but from what I saw on TV, it, you know, did feel a little bit. I mean, with that said, it was great. I feel like this was everything they wanted the Shayna Baszler Ronda Rousey match to be from SummerSlam that everybody didn't like. But with that said, when it was good, it was great. I love everything about Lola Vice. That girl is going to be a freaking star. And then, you know, obviously you have Shayna, who's such a pro and knows how to put anybody over. But yeah, when the strikes was good, it was great. But it just, it did throw me off a little bit about the kind of the weak strikes that they were doing, only to kind of get it back there when they kind of, you know, put the intensity up a little bit higher.
I love, well, by the way, I'm a huge Shayna Baszler fan as well. I will never let go of that run she had in NXT. But I actually really like this. I feel like they were the victims of some production issues though, with this one, where like the lights felt super dark for so much of it. And it was kind of hard to see what was going on. The big delay before the match, cause they had to take the ropes off, and then the big delay after made it feel kind of like, it felt like it cratered a lot of the energy of the show for me, during this. I personally love the Bash aspect of it. Uh-huh. I didn't really understand. I feel like at the end there may have been a miscommunication, because it was weird how Shayna Baszler just started attacking people, and it was like they were trying to get in the ring and then they didn't go in the ring and they got in the ring and then suddenly it was over. I don't know. It felt like something weird happened there.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah,
at the very end, I so those were all things. I don't really know if I put that on anyone in the match. It just felt I don't know. I feel like the way it was set up didn't work best. I don't know if this is why you would put this at the end of the show. I get why it's not the main event because of what was the main event, but or maybe the beginning of the show so you can save some time. It just I don't know. The energy felt like it kind of cratered here because of that time in between and the darkness.
It needed Shane McMahon.
Well, let me ask you this, because this also kind of I thought was weird. I get the fight pit, or not the fight pit, the underground. I get where it has that background, it's been used, but these two are MMA fighters and they're literally in a UFC building. Why not put this in an octagon?
My guess is just there was no room.
You don't think they could have even done this in like a separate room or something?
Maybe I thought that too. I don't know what the building's like, so I don't know where else they could have had it that would have, you know, fit with whatever production they were doing. But yeah, my guess is there was just no room to have it in the octagon.
Ricky says it needed Omos. that's what it needed, guarding the door.
And here's a nice little fun fact. I've been in the ring with a lot of those guys that were ringside.
Yeah, there's a lot of if that's what's fun of the fun thing. Now you've been in the ring with them, but that's what I would say. If you follow your local independent wrestling, it's always fun to see who you see on these wrestling shows and how cool it is. Like, oh yeah, that guy. Or when they go to certain towns and stuff, it's super fun. You're a big fan of Lola Vice. You have a high ceiling for her.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you right now, where do you put her in the pecking order? Is she the next contender for the title? Is she the next contender for the North American title? Is she a tag team person? Is she like fifth in line for the world, like NXT title? Kind of roughly, where do you see where she fits after this win?
Just because Roxanne's a heel, I feel like Lola Vice is going to be the next top contender for the North American championship.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
And I think she'll be champion, North American champion by the year's end.
So if she's the next challenge, do you think she's not the next? She's like the next legit challenger. Cause you know what I mean? Like the first challenger Kaylana Jordan's going to beat. And so they're not going to feed her up someone really great. They're going to give her someone she can beat. That's not going to hurt anyone. Not her. Cody Rhodes' first match was with AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles is great. No one thought he was winning that match, but Lola Vice is going to be the one that's down the road that we're like, ooh, this one, she could win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
We're on the same page there. Who do you think is going to be your first challenger?
I think it's going to be Sol Ruka. I think it's going to be them two at Heatwave, and I think they're going to tear the house down.
Face first face for the first matchup?
Yes.
Spicy. I was going to say Fallon Henley.
I did have Fallon. I predicted Fallon would win. I feel like she needed this win the most, especially with her new character direction. But mm-hmm. you know, no complaints for me regarding Kalani winning.
So everyone in the chat, let us know who you think the first challenger for the NXT Women's North American Championship is going to be. Just curious. Yeah. Beer Money says, agree, Jack. It'll be Fallon since they have history. Yeah, could see it. And plus, I think Fallon Henley's in that spot where if she took a loss, it wouldn't kill her. But she's also kind of on a little bit of a win streak. Not tonight, but, you know, she's been dangerous lately, mm-hmm. If I'm remembering correctly. Speaking of North American championships, though, we had a triple threat match. Oba Femi, Wesley, Joe Coffey. Femi dominates this whole thing, basically, until Gallus comes out to try to take out Femi. But he overcomes all them, throws people around like they're nothing, gets the win and retains. George, I'm watching this thing, man. And I've been saying this for a while on Draped in Gold with Lobo Boyce. I've been saying this whenever I'm on NXT's after shows. Oba Femi, man, I feel like he's ready for the big time. I feel like he checks every box. I feel like this is the guy. I feel like if he got called up today, I think he would swim just fine with the Sharks on the main roster. What do you think about Oba Femi?
This guy is such a freak of nature. The things that he can do. I mean, going back to Stand and Deliver when he, or was it Stand and Deliver? It was the one after that when he had, was it Ivar and, mm-hmm.
Dijak. Oh,
yeah. And he just literally just kind of picked them up like nothing. Holy moly. Yeah. This guy is such a freak of nature when it comes to just strength. Oh my God. And this guy's only what, 24 years old or so.
Mm-hmm. He's young.
In 10 years, this guy is going to be a WrestleMania main eventer.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And the thing is, too, is it's not like he's just like big and good in the ring. His presence, him on the microphone. And I think like he gets it, like when he talks, the way he opens his eyes wide. And so like he just looks terrifying. He mm-hmm. gets it. He understands yep. what he's doing. It's not just he's a big, powerful guy. I think sometimes we see big, powerful people like, oh, they're the future or they're good in the ring. This guy gets the character. This guy gets what he's doing. I'm watching this. I'm like, man, I want to see him face Gunther. Let's just throw him in there with Gunther right now. I want to see how that would go because he was throwing big Joe Coffey around like he was a hacky sack. Like, did you see how high he threw Joe Coffey in the air at the end of the match? He just threw him up in the air. It was this, you know, I'm watching this and I felt bad because I'm a huge Joe Coffey fan. I still got the things I want to say about Joe Coffey. I'm a big Wesley fan, but I'm like, man, these guys aren't beating Oba Femi.
I said before too, a couple weeks ago when he came back, I feel like Wesley's too good for the North American Championship. It's very been there, done that. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say about Oba Femi. I personally think that Brock Lesnar, he is so underrated when it comes to his selling and his psychology. If Oba Femi gets even like a glimpse of how or is able is as good as Brock Lesnar was when it comes to selling, we're done. Like there's nobody that's going to surpass Oba Femi.
Yeah, that is kind of the one missing piece. It's not like he's bad at it, but like that, like if he gets to that, like
Brock was that good. Like he was just that good where he can literally work with anybody. Maybe, I mean, if anything, he probably worked better with the smaller guys. Cause I feel like that Daniel Bryan match at Survivor Series 2018. Yeah. Like that to me was a masterclass of just selling. And if anybody can go back to that match, like an Oba Femi, dude, sky's the limit for that guy.
Yeah. I always say Brock is good. And like I said before, Gunther, everyone talks about how he chops and stuff. Dude, what his selling is insane. He's so good at making the other guy look like he's beating him up without overdoing it and looking. So he's really good stuff between those guys. I agree with you, Wes, about Wesley being the champion. I feel like we've seen that for so much. I feel like him being the North American champion would actually be sort of holding him back a little bit. By the way, Fernando says this was a really solid match. Beer Money with the idea I was going to come up with. Omos comes out to challenge Oba next. That's what I was going to say about Omos is I'd love to see Oba Femi throw Omos around a little bit. See just how big that guy is. Fernando says Femi is the future. And Adonde says Femi feels like he's been around for years, like he's ready. Going back to the women's match, Arthur says Fallon is the most likely. Droy J says JC Jane and Jasmine Nix. They've got the Hale to worry about.
I do want to say one more thing. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. As you say, Ricky Sinclair says Oba versus Josh Alexander or Moose.
That'd be fun.
Also good.
I do want to say one more thing about Wesley, though. Going back to what I said, I feel like he's too good for the North American Championship. You know, I could be wrong. I'm sure there's maybe people that are been in the business for 30-40 years and might disagree, but I feel like he shouldn't. I feel like they maybe use the championship as a crutch, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're able to get over without having to chase that championship on a consistent basis, or maybe have a championship, dude, that's when you're made. That's when you're a made guy. I do think at some point before the end of the year, he should start targeting the main NXT championship. But again, I want to see, because I think of the world of Wesley, and I want to see him do something that doesn't revolve around the title, and mm-hmm. and then eventually maybe, you know, moving up to the top prize in NXT. Like I said, once you don't need the championship to be over, man, like, you can do anything.
Absolutely. That's why you look at Randy Orton. He's mm-hmm. hardly ever in the world title picture. Yeah. He's one of the biggest stars in wrestling. Randy says something that has kind of echoed a lot on social media. Rascals help Wesley against Gallus. Would you like to see that?
Yeah, that'd be fun, actually. I haven't seen that at all on social media, but yeah, now that's been presented, that'd be really, really cool to see, you know, the three reunite. Obviously Nash Carter / Zachary Wentz got released from NXT a year and a half ago on the not the best circumstances, a lot of misunderstandings, I guess you can say, mm-hmm. unfortunate circumstances as well, based on the parties that were involved. So we'll see. He's in TNA right now. He's doing a great job, and, you know, forever's a long time to be gone. So who knows what kind of situation that people have had since things have happened.
This is what I want to say about Joe Coffey is we need to give some justice to Joe Coffey. I'm frustrated. First off, we need to get him his old music back. We need to get all of Gallus their old music back. We got to give him a new render for the mask screen. Get the hair out of his face. He doesn't have that hair. We got to update that. That doesn't mean how he looks anymore. And I feel like Joe Coffey looks like someone who can just brutalize someone. He's got the look. The whole group stands out. They're different. They can wrestle well. I mean, they help work with The Rock to get him ready. Mm-hmm. They check every box, but just please give him some dubs. Please give him some wins that matter. I feel like they're getting into that. I call it the Dolph Ziggler category of, like, you're great, but once I've seen you lose so many times, man, I'm not going to believe in you anymore. Mm-hmm. And just give the guy some wins. I was hoping he'd come back, and I was hoping he'd start to get some wins, but he got thrown around here today. Of course, he did attack Wesley afterwards, but man, Joe Coffey's got to get some wins, man. They've got to start putting some push behind that guy, because he's got it. Ricky, you get it.
It's very that. That Gallus is very train spotting. What movie is that with Ewan McGregor?
I think it's Train Spotting,
or like Snatch, or like some of those, Snatch, those other, like UK.
Those Guy Ritchie movies.
Yeah, that's just what Gallus reminds me of. Just like a fun drag out UK film, like nice British film, you know?
Yeah, they look like they're just gonna beat the tar out of you. I love it. They totally have that look and that vibe and that feel to them. And I think that they just need to, I want to see them get some wins and quit being the guys that continually get beat up and slip on a banana peel every single time. I'm here for Gallus, and I want the old music.
Hey. That's such a British song. Like, God. I can't see any American ever having that song.
Oh my God. It's so good. Come on. At least put it back on Spotify. Fernando says Coffey belongs in the main roster. The whole group is great. I love it. I once tweeted out that Wolfgang looks like the Cowardly Lion because of the way his hair and everything looks. And he responded, and he put a little gift of the Cowardly Lion. And so I'm a big fan of Wolfgang. He played along. It was great.
Yeah.
We move on to, I think, what a lot of people consider match of the night, the NXT Women's Championship match, Roxanne Perez versus TNA Knockouts champion Jordynne Grace. Incredible matchup with Tatum Paxley eventually coming out and taking the TNA title. Elegance by Ash stops Tatum, and then Grace levels them both, only for Roxanne to take the moment to get the win. George, many people going into this were claiming it was a dream match. I want your thoughts.
Yeah, going into it, this was the other one that I was excited for the most. I try to not mix my personal on what I wanted to see, because you know a lot of people, they're so like, oh, we didn't see what I wanted to see, so it sucked, you know? Like, no, right. Like that's such like a silly mentality to have. I thought the match was great. I would have liked for Jordynne Grace to win the NXT championship because you know, overall, when we get into a final thoughts about a battleground, I think it wasn't bad, but I feel like it's going to be forgettable down the road just because nothing really big happened. But if Jordynne Grace would have won and took that championship to TNA, maybe defended it at Slammiversary and Roxanne Go, whatever, like, that would have been something cool. We would have always looked back and said, man, battleground was something. That was really, really cool. And we didn't get to see that. It doesn't take away from how good the match was. Was not expecting any kind of interference, let alone Tatum Paxley, let alone Ash by Elegance. That was really, really cool. I do feel bad because there wasn't really any kind of pop for Ash by Elegance when she came out. I don't know if just maybe the crowd themselves were kind of, you know, maybe not really feeling the whole thing. I don't know. It could have been a lot of things. I feel like their energy level should have been a little bit higher for the whole night, not just that one match, not just that one moment. But yeah, overall, it was great. I think they work extremely well together. Roxanne knows how to work with somebody of that size, and Jordynne Grace knows how to work with somebody that size, and I think they really played off their strengths really, really well with each other. And I would love to see this ran back at some point, maybe even in TNA. I know TNA, I want to say next week they have like a Against All Odds pay-per-view, and Jordynne Grace has an open challenge. Man, if Roxanne Perez goes out there and, you know, accepts that challenge, that'd be amazing.
Well, this is what I think is going to happen, and this is why I like it, is I think they laid the groundwork for much more than just this match tonight. And I know a lot of people are frustrated with how it went, but I think this is how you lay a groundwork, because now I could see Tatum Paxley going after the TNA championship and Jordynne Grace getting a win over a WWE wrestler that way. I could even see Ash by Elegance taking a loss to Roxanne Perez. So we continue that with, you know, each of them getting a win on each other's shows. And then I can see those two breaking up off and going Jordynne versus Ash, and then Roxanne versus Tatum, and we have a lot of stuff to build off of there. I think the truth is, if we were thinking this was going to be a clean win or loss, we probably weren't being honest with ourselves. And I love the idea of the NXT title going to TNA. I that's spicy, but I don't know how you booked that well. I don't know if I've ever has we ever seen someone have their championship go to another company and it was great? Because I remember Kenny Omega did it for a while, but I feel like that wasn't as spicy as I think we all really wanted it to be. And a lot of people probably went, well, that's because they did it, blah, blah. But is there a better way to do it? Like, is NXT really going to tune in to TNA to watch what's happening over there? Like in big enough numbers?
Yeah, it's weird because it's not like TNA is on a major network like AEW's on TBS or TNT or NXT's on the USA. It's on Access TV. Like, not a lot of people even have Access TV, and I think that's probably what the biggest downfall is for TNA, that it's maybe very difficult to find, and, you know, them trying to find that kind of, you know, presence in the media. But also, when you look back, is that really an excuse? Because AEW were selling out arenas and drawing all this interest without even having a show. Just, you know, they sold out Double or Nothing, and they didn't even have a Dynamite announced. So, you know, it just, obviously it's different. Timing is a lot of things, but yeah, as Danny Cochran said, if AJ can go over to TNA and win that championship, I think that would maybe help with bringing over eyeballs. I'd love for New Day to go over and win the tag team championships.
What TNA people could win main roster stuff? Probably Moose, Josh Alexander, Yeah. Jordan Grace,
I don't know about main roster, though. I don't see Moose coming in and winning, like, the U.S. championship against Logan Paul or anything like that.
I could see Moose beating Sami Zayn.
Maybe. That's assuming he's going to beat Chad Gable.
I could see Moose beating Chad Gable.
I can see, like, Josh Alexander maybe winning the speed championship.
Would that be something TNA is happy with?
Probably not.
Armando says, I blame you, Jack, for the letdown factor. I sold myself on Grace winning.
I had her winning as well.
Beer Money says, I love this match, just hated the ending. Ash should have caused Jordan the loss. I think Ash didn't get the response from the crowd also because she didn't come all the way out. I don't think a lot of people saw her because she didn't come all the way out to the ring. Her music didn't play. I think it probably took a lot of people a while before they realized.
Yeah, I'd like to give glass half full as opposed to assume that people didn't care. I was thinking like, oh, maybe they just didn't see, maybe they were focused on Tatum or maybe seeing what was going on in the ring. But then again, it was a small arena. It was kind of a, 500, 600 seater. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they couldn't really see everything, what was going on. So I don't know. I like to think that maybe it was that.
Before we get to the main event, how did you like the Apex? How did you like that setup?
I liked it overall, but I do wish they would have maybe played around with a couple new, aspects of production. I always think back to like the Shotgun Saturday Night days when it first started, and it was this like they weren't in an arena, they weren't in any kind of stadium. They were literally like at a bar or like at Penn Station, just putting on a wrestling show, and it was so cool to see something new. When there was going back to WCW and them having a freaking pay-per-view on an actual beach, or them having a pay-per-view on like the Road Wild or Hog Wild at Sturgis. That was always so cool because it was so different and so new and so gritty. I wanted to see a little bit more grittiness out of this one. They just kind of made it seem like it trying to mimic what the current performance center looked like, which is fine. It still had some cool elements, but I just wish they would have played around with a little bit more new aspects of making it look like, maybe a little bit more intimate on what the place was.
I didn't like it. I'll be honest with you. I think because where the performance center has so many LEDs and it's so bright and there's so much energy and like movement happening, it feels like a much bigger arena than it is, where this one is so clearly a certain size.
Yeah.
And I felt like it wasn't mic'd as well. The crowd didn't, I could hear the crowd, but it just, the volume wasn't as high, if that makes sense. Like, and so you could just, it felt like, to me, it just felt like something was missing the whole night. It felt like the whole time I was like, they could have used the space better. I don't know anything about production. So this is like the out of shape guy eating potato chips saying he could probably work out better. I don't know. But it felt to me like, I don't know, it just didn't feel, it felt a little empty. It felt a little bit like I was watching a game show in like a sound stage, Beer Money says the sound also seemed off, like the ring bumps were quiet. Yeah, I don't know. I agree, Beer Money. I feel
like the acoustics were a little off. Maybe it's not meant to have pro wrestling in there. But it's a UFC arena, not a WWE arena.
But I like that they're traveling more. I do want to see them travel more and do more shows at other places. I think that's good for everybody involved. I think it's good for fans who don't live in Orlando to get to go to live events. I think it's good for the talent to try their stuff in front of crowds who don't see them live every week. Cause as that's a different world. You know, when you're in front of the same person every week, you get different reactions than when you're in front of people who have never seen you before. So I like that. Plus it's just, I don't know. I just think it's good. So hopefully they continue traveling. I just wasn't a huge fan of this setup. Let's get to the main event. NXT championship match, Trick Williams versus Ethan Page. Page debuts and battles the champ, but in the end distracts himself, jawing with the ref, and Trick retains. George, this one, I want you to tell me about Ethan Page, but I want you to tell me about Ethan Page as if you only have ever watched NXT and have never seen anything except for what NXT has shown you about Ethan Page. What are your thoughts on him?
So going back to this past Tuesday, I feel like Ethan Page was absolutely phenomenal on the mic. I I feel like it was a little disappointing for Trick Williams because Ethan brought it, but Trick didn't. So already with that, I was pumped for, you know, what we're going to see in the ring from Ethan Page. And like, I don't think he disappointed. I mean, the match was what it was. It was essentially, you know, a heel putting over the good guy, putting over the top guy. You know, that's really all it is. It wasn't meant to be a coming out party for either person. It wasn't meant to be this match of the year. It wasn't meant to be any of those things. It was just simply a story of Ethan Page and Trick Williams overcoming. You know, once I kind of, you know, kind of see for what it is, like, how am I going to sit there and criticize something that, you know, it wasn't meant to be anything else. I mean, so for what it was, I thought it was good. You know, wasn't the best match of the night. Not to say that that was a bad match. It was just, you know, it was good. I dig what they're doing with Ethan Page. I don't know, with that said, I don't know what's next for him, because, you know, how do you kind of bring somebody in and now they're already 0-1? Not to say that record matters at all, but, you know, I guess there's not much shame in losing to the top guy of the company. If it was me, I would have had this end in maybe like a DQ. That way it maybe sets up for Heat Wave, which is going to be in Toronto, which is where Ethan Page is not from there, but he's, you know, close to there. And maybe have a bigger blow off match in that time. And maybe between then and now have Ethan Page, you know, wrestle a lot of matches, or at least, you know, build himself up and even pose him as a, you know, more an even bigger threat. But, you know, it was what it was. Like I said, Trick Williams, he still has some work to do, but for the most part, he's probably doing exactly what they need him to do.
I am a huge Ethan Page fan. I think this was a massive signing for NXT. I think they're going to get a lot of mileage out of him. I think that what we've seen with like Brian Pillman to Lexus King, I think we're going to get a jump like that. And from what we've seen him before to what we're going to see him going forward. I think this was the right call though. I'm not a big fan of someone just coming in day one, being the champ. I feel like that usually ends up long-term not paying off. So I think this was a good call. I agree with you. I don't know if I think that this was match of the night. I think that this was the first time on an NXT show that I can ever remember where it got bit by the too many matches bug. I felt like as this match was starting, I was like, you know what? I feel like we should be done right now.
It's not even that. It's too many championship matches, I feel. Like there's literally 5 championship matches and 1 like underground match.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was 7 matches total. 1, 2, 3. Am I right? 4, 5, 6. Oh, no, 6 matches. You're right. 6 matches. Usually they do 5. Mm-hmm. And so to me, and everyone, let me know if I'm wrong. And by the way, for anyone who likes the tribalism stuff, I call AEW out on this all the time, But I do feel like, you know what? I don't know if maybe it's because of the breaks in between the, underground matches. I feel like we should have finished at the end of the Jordan Grace Roxanne Perez match. Not that this match should have been cut, but you know what I mean, just like in the fun of watching a show, it's like, oh, okay, now we're starting to feel like we've been here for a while.
Or even like armchair booking, obviously everything's better in hindsight. I would have had this match as a semi-main. And because just me personally, I think having that interpromotional championship match is a bigger deal than what we saw with Trick and Ethan, and have the end of the night have, you know, NXT versus TNA Women's Championship. And then on that, you know, and again, I also would have had Jordan Grace winning, but, you know, yeah. And by the way, like you're not a fan of somebody coming in on day one. Santino Marella disagrees with that.
Well, Santino's his own category. Yeah. But the but that said, I agree with you. I think they should have ended with the women's championship match. But that's hindsight, to be totally honest. I don't like it when people before the show is over, like, this should have been evented. You don't know how it's going to go. You don't know how this is going to play out. So like the way they drew this up, I don't blame them for it all. It's like a football play that doesn't work out. Right? I mean, it was a good call. It just didn't work. And it worked. I guess worked. That makes it sound like this failed. This was fine. It just, I don't know. Yeah, maybe after that women's match, I was like, I think I'm ready to wrap this one up. But I love Trick Williams. I love Ethan Page. I think they're going to continue to do some good stuff there. And overall, I thought this was a fun show. I don't know how notable it was. I don't know how much we'll like look back and be like, man, remember, Battleground in Las Vegas when all that. But it was fun. Like watching it, I enjoyed it. I feel like I went on a journey with a lot of different types of matches and characters. Everyone in the chat, let me know your overall thoughts of the show. But George, you let me know your final thoughts and where can the world find you online?
Yeah, overall, like I said, I thought it was a good show. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be forgettable in the long run. We all look back because I always say this: after every single WrestleMania that's ever happened, literally, you ask me within an hour, "Hey, what'd you think of WrestleMania?" It was the absolute best WrestleMania I've ever seen in my entire life. Ask me in like a month, because then that's a bigger like what's going to be memorable, what's going to be stuck in my head. And unfortunately, Battleground was not going to be one of those shows where it's going to get like, oh man, remember that one Battleground with that one match? I think the most notable aspect of it was that North American ladder match for the women's, for the first one. That to me is probably going to be the most memorable aspect of tonight's show. And I'm interested to see if I'm going to feel that way in a month or 2 months when somebody asks me like, oh yeah. And what did I think of that? Hopefully I'll be able to say, oh yeah, it was a okay show, but that one match was phenomenal because I really think the ladder match was great in every aspect. I think in general, I think the women tonight killed it. I think they were absolutely every single woman involved, just were on their A game. Just overall, but I mean, it's not bad. Not bad, yeah. To be a forgettable show. Just, there's a lot of shows. Well, there can only be one best show of the year, not necessarily a bad thing. If you want to see more of what I have to say, I'm actually a little inspired. I have a wrestling channel, the Wrestling Chatter on YouTube. I should do like a music review where we just kind of talk about like albums, talk about this WWF aggression. I want to say it came out like in like March of 2000. It was right before WrestleMania 2000. And I remember taking the bus over to like the Warehouse Music because I had a gift card for that. And I was like, I'm going to buy WWF Aggression. I don't know. Maybe we'll do more music related things on the old YouTube channel. So therefore, go and subscribe. YouTube chat, the Wrestling Chatter on YouTube, TW Chatter on social media. You can follow me at Ghermoza, Ghermoza.
We should do, we got to figure out a way to do a show where we don't get the music strikes, maybe on Twitch or something where we can do them. We'll just like do a listen along or something. But I got to figure out what the name of that song was. That sometimes I drink a little beer. Sometimes I make a little mess. I'm trying to Google it right now. I'm gonna say I can't find it. Okay, I'll look it out. Look it up at some point. But in any case, I thought this was a great episode.
Sometimes I drink a little beer.
Sometimes I make a little mess. Sometimes I get a little angry.
Is it him singing?
No.
Because I want to say I know they had that one album. It was like I think it was called like WWE Originals, where it was all like them singing songs that was made for them, except for like John Cena who sung. The OG Thugonomics.
It was rap. H Blocks. Oh Hell Yeah is the name of the song.
I don't know. This one's by Snoop Dogg and WC.
No, it's not that one. It's not that one. It was chat. I need someone to look it up for me so I'm not just staring. This is terrible. This is terrible on audio. I can't tell which one it is. Anyways, okay, we gotta move on. I like the show. Like I said, this reminded me of like the old WCW Slamboree kind of shows where you're like, oh, this is cool, fun show. It's not Bash the Beach or Halloween Havoc. Similar to this, it reminds me of like an At Your House kind of WWE show too. We're like, oh, some cool stuff happened.
Yeah.
But it's not WrestleMania. Enjoyable show. I think that it just the embarrassment of riches they have at Taylor, because think about how many people weren't on this show. That they could have had on this show who are stars. So really, really good stuff. Very, very interested to see how this relationship with TNA continues to unfold. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to go and follow at Wrestling Inc. though. And by the way, do yourself a favor, follow at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, where you can find all the stuff I'm working on. But follow at Wrestling Inc. That's where you can get all the latest news. Also, George, can I let you in on a little secret? The internet's best wrestling secret of the best After Raw podcast is right here on Wrestling Inc. with Triple J every single week. And we're going to be live tomorrow after Raw this week. What are we going to talk about? I don't know. Maybe we're going to talk about the Wyatt family QR codes. That could happen. Maybe we'll finally talk about Ricochet and where he might wind up. Maybe we'll talk about some other news that I don't know about. But whatever it is, we're going to talk about it tomorrow on Raw, as well as we're going to be live after Clash of the Castle right here on Wrestling Inc. Give it a follow. Also, check out WWF The Music Volume 4 for H Block's Oh Hell Yeah at 3 minutes and 16 seconds of pure audio heaven. That does it for us. We're clicking end stream, baby.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.